Our summer sermon series is focused on living in the Spirit, and we're taking a close look at how the Holy Spirit shapes the way we live. And one of the ways it does so is by moving us to serve others. And that's frankly the example of Jesus. And that's been the theme of our service. We saw it with the missions video. We listened to it in that first scripture reading. And we'll find it again in this next scripture reading, which comes from the 13th chapter of John. This part of John is known as the farewell discourse. Jesus is preparing his disciples for the day in which he will no longer be with them. And the instructions that he provides are built around love. The word love appears 25 times in this part of John. And one of the ways that Jesus showed his love to his disciples was through the washing of their feet. So let's listen now to our scripture passage. I'll read verses 1 through 15 of John chapter 13. And if you have your Bible with you, I invite you to open to that passage. I'll be reading from the New Revised Standard Version. Again, it's John chapter 13, verses 1 through 15. Now, before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The devil had already put it into the heart of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray him. And during supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from the table, took off his outer robe, and tied a towel around himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was tied around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered, "You do not know now what I am doing, but later you will understand." Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "One who has bathed does not need to wash except for the feet, but is entirely clean. And you are clean, though not all of you." For he knew who was to betray him. For this reason he said, "Not all of you are clean." After he had washed their feet and had put on his robe and had returned to the table, he said to them, "Do you know what I've done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example that you also should do as I have done to you." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you. Amen. The first recorded attempts to climb Mount Everest happened 100 years ago in 1922. Now, we know lots of people have chased the thrill of climbing the world's tallest mountain, and getting to the top is an incredible accomplishment. But as we know, there's a ton of risk involved. Anyone who attempts to climb Mount Everest is greeted on the trail with a morbid warning of how difficult it is. You see, there are over 250 dead bodies on the mountain. These bodies haven't yet been recovered. It's just too hard to bring them down. And I assume that those people thought they were going to make it to the top, but then something tragic happened and they lost their lives. Now, to try to prevent that kind of tragedy from happening, climbers have relied on the specialized knowledge of Sherpas to help them navigate the mountain. Sherpas are indigenous to that region of the world, and over time they've developed the competency and the skills to make it to the top. Of course, getting to the top is equally risky for everyone, but most people who do climb Mount Everest hire Sherpas to guide them through some of the world's most treacherous terrain. You know, in life, it always helps to have someone leading us. It's what Jesus did for the disciples. He led them for 3 years. He led them to serve and act with humility. He led them to embrace a new model of faithfulness. Now, this model stood in stark contrast to the way the religious leaders of the time lived. They weren't interested in service. You wouldn't catch them kneeling down on the ground and washing the feet of others, just as Jesus had done. They were much more interested in showing off how important they were. They wanted glory. They wanted people to know that God favored them. And therefore, they lived with a great sense of entitlement. They felt entitled because of their role as priests and scribes. And everything they did was designed to show off how important they were. Even their clothing was designed to be noticed. It was meant to show off how pious they were and how prayerful they were. They wanted people to look at them instead of looking toward God. Now, according to Jesus, these religious leaders weren't living the life of faith. Everything they did was done to demonstrate how powerful and important they were. And they even turned God's law into a tool used to keep people down. They used it as a burden. And they acted like they were the only ones who were worthy. Sadly, these religious leaders didn't show people the way of real faith. But for 3 years, Jesus led his disciples to see a different model of faithfulness. And he made this explicitly clear when he gathered with the disciples in the upper room to eat and celebrate the Passover. He knew his time on earth was coming to an end, and so he wanted his followers to be clear on how they should live. And while they were together in that room, verses 4 and 5 tell us that Jesus got up from the table, took off his outer robe, and tied a towel around himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was tied around him. Can you imagine one of our world leaders doing this? Or the CEO of a Fortune 500 company, or a Hollywood icon, or a sports superstar? The humility of Jesus is what stuns us. He chose the role of a servant to show the disciples what faithfulness looks like. Now, let's remember that in those days, foot washing was not a symbolic ceremony done in a worship service. It was a practical necessity. Roads were dirty and dusty. They were muddy, and they were littered with manure. The sandals that people wore didn't protect their feet from getting dirty. And so anytime people went indoors, they needed their feet washed. And the task of foot washing was always assigned to the household slave because it was one of the most demeaning and filthy jobs. No one else was going to do it. But there wasn't a household servant around when Jesus gathered the disciples in the upper room. And so Jesus did that dirty job And in doing so, he set an example for the disciples. But either the disciples didn't pick up on this, or they didn't want to follow that example. Because in Luke's gospel, in his version of this story, we're told that as soon as they finished eating, they argued about which one of them was the greatest. It seems they were more interested in being served than in serving others. Now, to their credit, the disciples would eventually catch on, and they would see that the example Jesus set goes much deeper than just washing feet. It's about incarnating the good news of God's love and grace in a world that's full of pain and brokenness. And Jesus said as much. Right after they left the upper room, he said this to the disciples, and you'll find this in verse 34 of our chapter. He said, "I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another." We show our love for others through acts of service and humility. That's what the Holy Spirit is leading us to do. But where God's Spirit is leading, and where our culture is leading, often seems like it's in opposite directions. You know, our culture seems to be obsessed with what we can call upward mobility. It's about climbing the social ladder, about getting job promotions, attaining a higher level of income, a higher standard of living, and even moving into bigger houses. Now, none of these things are bad by themselves, but our culture wants these things to be our focus. And so it drives us to keep climbing higher and higher so that eventually we can be on top. But the Spirit leads us downward. It leads us to places of service. It leads us to live with humility. This is where the Spirit flows. And Jesus modeled this way of life for his disciples, which is so different from what they had seen from others. Now, in Jesus, we see that God has come down from heaven. God isn't distant or aloof. God doesn't stand far away looking down. Rather, God is with us right now. God meets us right where we are. And that's where we need God. God meets us on our level. God steps down into our places of need, into our places of suffering, and serves. Jesus modeled service and humility throughout his life. It's what he did for 3 years with his 12 disciples. And as he neared the end of his life, he made it abundantly clear that he expected the same from his followers. He said in verse 15, "For I have set you an example that you also should do as I have done to you." Now that was shocking for the disciples who were still arguing about who was the greatest. And those words are shocking to our world, where people are always competing against each other to see who can be on top, who can climb the social ladder higher, to get better jobs, to make more money, to have more power and have more prestige. Being on top makes people feel important. It makes people feel like they've made it. And yet to get there, some people will tear others down. Now, Jesus turned away from this because he wasn't interested in climbing social ladders. He wasn't trying to grasp for more money or more power or more prestige. He was always giving away everything he had down to his own life. He liked to hang out with people who were considered outcasts and with people who the world might describe as undesirable and unsuccessful. He liked to empower others by standing with them, by listening to them with respect, and by helping them become successful, even when it came as a great cost to himself. You know, if we listen to the Spirit of God, it will lead us to places of service and humility. And if we listen to the Spirit, it will shape how we live in almost every situation in which we find ourselves. If you're listening to the Spirit, when you're at a social gathering, you might notice on the other side of the room a group of people talking and laughing together, but then in the opposite corner, on the other side of the room, you might see a person sitting alone, feeling awkward and not knowing a soul. The Spirit will draw you to that person in need, and you may become a bridge that connects that person to others. If you're listening to the Spirit when someone is angry at you or spreading false rumors about you, you may be tempted to lash out to them, but the Spirit will draw you to them in humility. You might reach out to them and say, "Hey, I sense that there's a problem between us, and I want to see what I can do to make things right." Now, the other person may be too angry or too insecure to respond in a positive way, but whatever happens, the Spirit is at work in you. If you're listening to the Spirit when you make a mistake and are tempted to cover it up or make excuses for it, the Spirit will nudge you to admit what you've done, admit to yourself, to God, and to those who deserve to know. And you might say, "Hey, here's what I did. I was wrong. Will you forgive me?" And God will be present in your humility. If you're listening to the Spirit when you're tired or when you're feeling run down, and then you see a sink full of dirty dishes or a Sunday school class without a teacher or a house in your neighborhood where the grass hasn't been mowed all summer long, you might be thinking, "Why isn't so-and-so taking care of this?" And you might even send an email or write a letter pointing this out. But the Spirit will lead you to see that other people are just as tired as you, which then moves you to help. You try to serve because you know God is alive in you. Now, if you are listening to the Spirit, you will be drawn to the opportunity to serve. And if you let the Spirit guide you, you'll find great joy and you'll experience some of the greatest blessings in life. I also want you to remember that there will be times in life when you will be served. And when this happens, you'll have the opportunity to bless and thank those who serve you. And in doing so, they will experience a blessing of their own, and it will give them joy. Now, our culture leads us to climb ladders. It leads us upward toward greater money, power, and prestige. But living in the Spirit of God leads us downward. It leads us to wash the feet of others. It leads us to service. It leads us to places of humility. It leads us to stand with others and share God's love and grace. Now, we don't find God by climbing over others and tearing them down so that we might rise up. We find God in humble places of service. And so if we want to encounter God, then that's where we need to be. Would you pray with me? Oh God, we are grateful that you have come down to meet us where we are in our places of need. You've come to serve and help us. And Lord, I pray that we will follow your example. I pray we will seek to share your love and grace by finding ways to serve others and to live with humility. That's the example Jesus has set for us. May we have the commitment to live as he did. And we pray this in the name of Christ. Amen. In just a moment, we will sing our hymn of response. It's hymn number 241. I'll be here at the front of the sanctuary to receive anybody who would like to come forward and share how you are responding to the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. This is a time to share decisions that you're making about discipleship, ministry, or church membership. Let's stand now and sing together, "Breathe on Me, Breath of God." It's hymn number 241. Thank you for joining us for worship today. I would like to share just a few announcements with you. I'd like to remind all the men and women that we continue to have summer Bible studies for both men and women. There are details printed in the bulletin, and I invite you to come out for those. On July 13th, our arts ministry is hosting a special program for adults. It begins at 10:30 a.m., and it's on the great hymns of our faith. And the artists have created artistic interpretations of these songs, and they are going to lead a program about this. And so everybody's invited to come out on Tuesday, I think it's Tuesday, July 13th, or Wednesday, July 13th. So come out for that event, and it'll be a time of great fellowship and a wonderful program too. Now, as we leave this worship, may we sense God's Holy Spirit going with us, and may we follow where the Spirit leads. May we follow downward into places of service and to live with humility in all that we do. Let us go forth to be servants of God. Go in peace.